Come just like that, your sheets.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense. I'm going to pour you a little coffee.
No, I had my breakfast and coffee.
Well, I'll pour you a glass of water.
We're kind of late this morning, Mrs.
Yeah.
Come on here where we can talk to you. He's telling me about those, that rain guy. It rained all around him.
Yeah. Maybe we've been out of it too for some time.
It rained the other day. I was over at Anthony working. And oh, it was black around there, you know. You'd have swore to goodness that it was going to have an awful thunder shower. It never rained a bit there at Anthony. Well, I started for home at 5 o'clock. And you got up the spar and the water stood all over the road. Well, I got coming over this way and got over to where the North Marion School is and run right out of it. It was just as dry from there on over as could be. I stopped into Johnny Palmer's there a minute. And started for home, and there were three cars that were stopped up there to the intersection where the old 441 comes down to the new. I went to start up there, and there was a Volkswagen right ahead of me, and boy, that woman, she was must have been in an awful hurry, because she whirled out around that other car, you know, and to take off. And just as she whirled out around there, there wasn't a sprinkle come down, but it started pouring right down just like buckets full, you know. They come against my windshield and against the tin on that truck. Well, I couldn't think what the heck was coming off, you know, because there wasn't no sprinkles or nothing. It just come right down like a smack. And from there on down towards home, you got down there by Freddie Bartell's and you couldn't see Freddie's store. It rained so hard. It was just coming right down. You could see the buildings on the right-hand side of the road, but over on the left-hand side across the four-lane, you couldn't see them. I got down there almost to Hargett's and run right out of it. And down home, it didn't even sprinkle.
I didn't know it rained that hard anywhere.
Boy, it really come down.
Yesterday, I saw this cloud of Gainesville, and somebody came down here and said they'd had a big rain up there.
Yeah.
That's curious weather, isn't it?
Yesterday, let's see, either yesterday or the day before, they got a heck of a rain down here to McIntosh, and down home there never even sprinkled.
Now that's what hurts.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Didn't sprinkle down there.
Well, you're not hurting.
Well, not too bad. We sprinkled along a little bit there in the garden stuff.
Let me tell you, Miss Eaton probably needs to go pay. I was
working up there to Goodrich's some. We took them, had them high ceilings in there, you know, 11 feet high, and we dropped them down to 8 and put a new ceiling on, and then I took and put that paneling all around the side, you know, that plywood paneling,
uh-huh.
That luan. In two rooms up there, and then they had another bedroom and we dropped the ceiling down on that and insulated it.
Why do they want to drop the ceilings down, Mr. Eason?
Well, they used to claim that they were cooler, you know, to have them high like that.
Yes.
Well, maybe they are, I don't know, but nowadays they're all putting them down, and you take all these new houses they're building. They're only putting a 7.5-foot ceiling in.
Can't walk inside with your hat on, can you?
But they claim it's so many air conditioning units that the lower the ceiling, the better your air conditioning works.
I can't breathe in a low ceiling room.
Huh?
I can't breathe in
a low ceiling. You got asthma?
No, I just don't like low ceilings.
Well, now the air conditioning, I don't know, but as far as the heating goes, Mr. Eastman, people come out here and say these old must be hard to heat out here. Well, the only time it's hard to heat is when the wind
blows. And the wind blows, yeah.
The rest of the time, you can heat just as easy. No great trouble.
What are you up to today?
Oh, I got a lot of little jobs I got to take care of. I got to go over to the Mrs. Barnard's home there, back at the restaurant. Put up, she got four sets of them Traverse curtain rods you got to put up. You know what they are. Drawstring, you know, pull them both ways.
Mr. Eastman, what do you do when these old windows, when the cord breaks?
Put in a new one.
Yes.
Would you just...
How do you do that?
Well, now you see here...
Now I've got... Yeah.
You see here, there's a pocket in here.
See? Yeah.
And there's a screw that holds that in. You take them screws out, and this pocket comes out, and that lets you back in there.
Well, what do you have to take out?
Well, then you see your weight is probably down here at the bottom where the cord is broke.
Yeah.
Well, then you take that and measure your cord and get a new cord and put right in.
Well, now, where does it come out, Mr. Eastman?
Well, right there. So you see where that's cut across?
Yeah. Oh, that's cut across.
It's cut right across there.
Well,
sometimes you have to pull this out in order to get it out.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Yeah.
Mr. Eastman, I'm about to suffocate in my room up there in front.
Yeah.
And that's, I worked, there were 6 weeks one winter, with the boss carpenter on the job, and I, that's all we'd done was make window frames.
Yeah.
And that was in the city of Oneida. And we made window frames there for I don't know how many houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well?
He always called me Sliver. The contractor we was working for, he said, well, Andy, he says, you pick your man to work with you. He said, I'll take Sliver. And he said, every doggone time, you know, that they'd get something to go off in the main job to do something, he'd say, I'll take Sliver with me. Well, in a way, it is a good thing. You know, you work with a boss carpenter like that, and you learn more than you do working with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that fellow there, he learned the carpenter trade in State's Prison. And I'm telling you, he knew it. He'd take a steel... I wish that I knew half as much about a steel square as he did. And he'd take a steel square, and he'd start and lay it right down, you know, and he'd start to fingering it a good deal like these fellows do now with a sliding rule. And he'd take and finger that there for about 5 minutes, and he'd tell you how many bags of plaster it'd take to plaster the house that you was working on. And old Fred Kent, the contractor, say, Andy, why don't you show me how to do that? And he said, learn it the way I did. Learn it the way I did.
I never dreamed you could do that.
Yes, it's all on there.
Well, you know, all those figures on there have got to mean something.
Yes, sir. It's all right on there. And I'm telling you that he wouldn't vary 2 bags of plaster on a house. And I said, boy, he'd have her right there. And you know, the plastering on a house can vary But the different fellows just plastering, because one of them might get on a little thick in some spots, you know, and that'd take a little bit more, or they might let up a little bit in some places, and that'd take a little less.
Yeah.
You'd be pretty darn close on them bags of plaster that you're on there.
Yeah, you can put it on thick or on thin. I notice these boys up here at the campus, that's where I work, you know, they complain like they can't get a job. But I found out what they want. The first thing they do, they'll ask you what the pay is and what the hours is.
Yeah.
And once they find that out, Miss Eastman, they just let you hold the ball.
Yeah.
Hold the sack, hold the bag. And they'll get there and think about something else. Now, if they want to come out here and work with you, or work with that fellow you was talking about, and watch him and pick up some of that stuff, that'd be a different proposition, wouldn't it?
Well, I've had two different college students, colored boys, want me to give them work for the summer, you know. Well, geez, in my business, I can't afford to hire them and give them top-notch wages, and they don't know nothing about doing anything. You see? You take them fellas there, if you get anything out of them, you got to stand right over them and show them all the while what to do. And then time you get them so that they are good for something, well, then they're done.
They wouldn't work for what you work for, I don't imagine.
Well, probably not.
And while you was teaching them, they'd expect to be paid.
Yeah, well, now there's a fellow down there at Orange Lake. He's working over on horse farms now. I don't know what pay he gets. But I had him help me put a couple of roofs on. And I had to pay him $3 an hour, and I got 2.5. He wouldn't work for 2.5. He'd sit right on his behind and let the county take care of him, he said, first before he'd work for 2.5. Well, now there you are, and I needed a man darn bad to help put the roofing on, and so I got him to help. But now he's working for some horse farm somewhere, and whether he's getting $3 an hour or not, I don't know. And I kind of doubt it, the way them horse farms pay.
They might promise him $3, but they don't come up with it. These horse farms now, some of these people fading over, they're always looking for somebody to work. And then they get somebody and they got to say a sick horse or a horse with a lame leg, and the doctor says go out and walk the horse. So you look out there and they're running the horse.
Yeah.
Now that's what.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
I don't know. It looks like they ought to pay some attention to the animal. They don't, do they?
Did you ever have anything to do with a horse that had a spavin?
No.
You know what a spavin is?
Sort of vaguely. I bet Guy doesn't.
You know what a spavin on a horse is?
No, I guess I don't, Miss Eastman.
Well, it comes on the hind leg right in that hock joint in there, see?
Yeah.
And they get so lame that they can't step on it, you know, and one thing or another.
Yeah.
Well, now you take a good veterinary, if he knows his business, can do what they call firing it.
Yeah.
Now, they tell you it's an awful harsh treatment. They take a red hot soldering iron and just take and burn that, see? Burn some holes right in it.
Yeah.
And that'll seal that joint, see, so that joint will be practically stiff. But you know, if you give a horse a good rest after it's fired, geez, that horse will be good for the rest of his life and never take a lame step.
I wonder how in the world you'd get a hold of him to do that.
Well, it's all in throwing him, you know.
Oh,
they take and put ropes onto him and throw him and...
Yeah.
Tie him right down, I know, I had one fired once.
You gotta throw him.
They took him, throw him, and they put them ropes onto him, you know, and double him up, and but Jesus, he can't move. There were some fellows there, they know just how to put them onto him, you know. Boy, when they fired that horse, I felt so damn bad for that horse. He nickered to beat all, you know.
Oh, just cry.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. But Jesus, you taking a stick of red hot iron into, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, but Jesus, you'd more than cry.
Yeah. See, maybe.
And they said if I lay the horse up for 6 weeks, he'd be all right. Well, I said if I bought another horse to take his place, and I laid him up all summer. I had that done in the spring, and I kept him in the barn in the stall there for about 6 weeks, and I carried him water and everything, so he didn't let him out to hurt that, you know. Well, then at the end of 6 weeks, why, I let him out in the pasture. I let him run in the pasture all summer. Boy, when fall come there, he was just as good as could be. And he never took a lame step after that.
That's nice.
You know, I haven't had any trouble with my cows in several years. Oh, 2-3 weeks ago, they started coming up with eyes watering. On the thing, they had good feed and they're healthy. And, well, I didn't pay much attention to it. And then one of them come up.
Pink eyes.
With eyes. So I started the old treatment. I just gave them a bucket, you know, up there in the corral and let them eat. And I just washed the eye. And it's, you see, once it starts watering, then it starts crusting down there.
Yeah, sure, it's the pink eye.
And that crust will just track light.
Well, but it granulates after a little bit, too, and gets right down in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what pink eye is.
Well, it's a disease of the eye. Boric acid's about the best stuff you can use.
How would you use it?
Boric acid. Just take and mix it up with water.
Just a little solution.
A teaspoonful, about a quart of water.
Yeah, and just wash your eyes with it.
Wash your eyes with that.
Yeah. Now, most of them, once you just wash the eyes, it'll clear up and won't come back.
And what'd you wash it with?
I put a little antiseptic soap in it. Just water. But now that one or two of them, it kept doing that. And now, one of the eyes is sort of sore.
Sore?
Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of inflamed.
Yeah, well, you see that crusting on there.
Now, I didn't keep it clear, but I've cleared the eyes, any of them that had trouble, every day or two. Now, if you don't do that, you know, you can, it'll get ahead of you.
Yeah.
But they tell me pink eye is catching.
Yeah. They claim that if even a person can catch it off in the cow.
Yeah, they sure can.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem,
But that boric acid is about the best that you can wash it with.
It just don't seem like it's possible, Mr. Eastman.
What do you got there?
I just got you 2 chips down. I don't know what your charges are. I just pay you for your trip.
Jesus, that's pretty near twice too much.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take it out on another call. Maybe you'd get Mr. Eastman to put on his book now, not anytime soon, because he's, you know, you got to kind of work it in. You might get him to come up and help you a little bit on those windows.
my front room, I've just got one window I can open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without having a stick on it.
What is that? These old frames like that, Miss Eastman, of course, they last a long time. That thing has lasted a generation, that screen frame. But you can buy these little metal frames, aluminum frames, but I don't know where to buy them. And the place I'd buy them, they cost so much, it costs more than one.
The best place to buy them is down to the air control, down south of Ocala.
Yeah.
They make them right there.
Oh.
You get the size of them, and they'll make anything that you want.
Is that right? Well, let me tell you, these are all different.
Well, you just take them and get them, take your measure, and you measure the size that you want.
See? Yeah.
And you take your sizes right down there, and they'll make you just as many windows of that one size as you want.
And they'll...
They'll make them all right up.
And then that'll last forever, won't it?
Well, it won't last forever, no, but it'll last a long time.
It'll last as long as your shed.
Yeah.
Well, that's practically forever, isn't it?
But you take, I've had a lot of them made up down there.
Can you see that book?
Air control.
You got the Ocala part there?
Yeah.
Well, you can't call them today because they're not open on Saturday. I'll look at here and let me see your pen just a minute and I'll mark right around this. Air control products.
They make them.
It's right down there. You're pretty near halfway to Bellevue. And it's on the right-hand side as you're going down.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of look kind of close as you come along down there because you come over a little knoll like that and they're right back in there. Now they've took on this carpet deal. Indeed, they're selling a heck of a lot of carpet down there.
Air control products.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, have they?
They buy that carpet, you know. And them big rolls, God, they'd be that big around, you know. And, I don't know, 12, 15 feet long, them rolls are. And they got one of them forklifts. With just a big pole sticks out, see? They run that damn pole right down the middle of that carpet and raise her right up and push her back in. They got them all up on, piled up there, you know? And the tickets all on the outside there, see? And when you go in there and you pick out what you want, you know, and they'll sort right around down in there and run that thing in there and pick that roll-up belt and bring it over here and cut off just what you want.
You been buying carpet?
No, but I was down there. I had three screen doors that I bought down to Scotty's. And it had this 2020 screen. You know what that is?
No.
Well, it's 20 openings to an inch. Right there, no. The screen doors that I bought had 16 screen in it. See, there's 16 openings. Well, that's kind of coarse.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted 20-20 in it. See, and that's fine, so if these gnats can't get through.
They can't either.
Well, yes, there it gets through there pretty well. So, I was going to get the screen and put it in. And Johnny Palmer has got a tool for putting the screen in them aluminum screens. You see, there's a hollow spot like that, and this tool has got a round wheel, and you run right over your screen, and that pushes your screen down in there.
Yeah.
All right, then it's got a wheel that's got a slot in it. You know, when you run and you put this rubber, they have a round rubber that goes in there that holds it in. And you take and get that started in there, and then you take that wheel there will push that rubber down in there to hold it in, see? Well, it is a heck of a job to do that, see? Well, I heard about the air control, or I thought about the air control down there, and I heard that they had some of that fine screen. So I called them up, and they said, yes, they had some of that fine screen, but nylon. Well, now I said, I'll tell you, we've got some of this fine screen up here that's aluminum. And what would you ask to take the old screen out and put this new screen in? And they said they'd take the three doors and put them in for $10. I said, I'll bring it down tomorrow morning.
Yeah, boy, that's true.
So I took them down, and they took the old screen out and put that fine screen in. See, down here at Orange Lake Shores, this man French down there, he had a double carport. It was 22 feet square. And they wanted to screen it in, so you didn't leave the car sitting out. So I went up and I laid up six rows of blocks on there. They're four-inch blocks. They're a half block, see, but they're 8 inches wide. The same as the house was made out of, so it's a match. And I laid up the six rows of them right straight around there, see. And then I put a 12-inch plank on top of it. Well, I had a 3-inch iron post that held them up. See, and it was one in the middle over here and one on the corner and one in the middle here. And then over here was your house again, see? And your house come here like this. See, and your porch was in here. So I cut out of my blocks so as to enclose that iron pipe.
Oh.
Well, then I cut out of my plank that went on the top there. See, I took and marked it, my hole in here like that, and then I cut right out here to the edge of the plank. Well, I took my saw and I sawed right in here and I sawed right around just like that and right around here, see? Then I come back and sawed this out here. That made it so that I could slide this in. I could take this piece here and put it right back in there and toenail it in. You got to look awful close or you couldn't find it.
Yeah.
See, and that fixed that. Well, then I took this where them iron posts was and took 1x4s and boxed them right in. See, and then you put your screens up against that on the inside,
yeah.
And your screens up against the top there, and then on your bottom you put a piece of a quarter round across on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, and that fixed it all up. And you know, their top up there, you see, they come out of the house like that, and then it made an archway like that to come up over to this iron post, and then another archway over to that like that. Say, you know, when I got it done, by Jesus, now that worked pretty.
Yeah.
It was a nice job. There's one fellow went up there and looked at it. And he said that he looked at that place and come near buying it before French bought it. And he said, you know, if it had been fixed like that, he said I'd have bought it right off.
Where is it?
Orange Lake Shores.
Oh.
You know where that is.
Go ahead. Well, whereabouts is it down there?
Well, as you...
I know the head man, you know, the old headquarters down there, where the man lived, the owned it.
Yeah, Mertz.
Mertz.
Well, as you're going in, you're going down towards Orange Lake Shores here, or going down towards the old clubhouse down there in the corner. This first road to the left, that goes out there where that dike is. See, they put a dike back in here, and there's a road just before you get to that dike. And it goes back out there to the lake and goes right around the circle and you can come back.
Oh.
All right, well, he lives right here by that circle right there.
Oh,
see, there's another house on the corner. A fellow named Wilson lives on the corner here, and then French lives over here. Well, then on the other side of this dike or channel or whatever you might call it that they come back in there with,
yeah,
is a fellow by the name of McDonald lives over there.
Yeah, I found it. Now, which house? French house?
Mm-hmm.
They might be down there sometime.
But all that. He went there to St. Petersburg and got that fine screen. We couldn't get it anywhere around here. Now, I don't know why the people don't get it around here. I've tried to get different ones. I tried to get Scotty's down there to put in some. And I tried to get the Macintosh Hardware to get some. Geez, if they'd get that 20 mesh screen, everybody'd want it. They'd have an awful sale for it.
And what they use, 16?
16.
That's probably not even 16 over there.
Yeah, that's 16. That's what most of it is.
Well, could you use anything? All I want is to keep the mosquitoes out.
Well, if you're going to keep them mosquitoes and them little gnats out, you got to get that 20/20.
Now, I'm not worried about the gnats because I'm worried about the mosquitoes. I was just thinking.
Well,
maybe
they have a screen that's in between. They're called 16/18.
Oh.
It's 16 one way and 18 the other, see?
Yeah.
But that ain't as fine as this 20/20.
You know, you get that stuff so fine, you can see through it, but the air can't come through it. Now, are you putting 20/20 on your place down here?
I don't know. It all depends if I can get some.
Oh. If you can get it, you put it on.
If you can get it, it costs a little bit more money.
I never was bothered much with that.
But, it don't take any longer to put it on than it does the other, as far as that goes.
Yeah. You can't buy that Freeman and sort of adjust it yourself, can you? They've got to make it.
Oh, yeah, they make it up down there. See, they have it. It comes right in the bar of length, you know.
Yeah.
And then they just take and cut it right on the miters and stick it right together.
And I couldn't do that, could I? But you know, I have found that when I take the measurement, I don't always take it the same way twice.
That's a common occurrence.
This season, I can't even count the cows and get the same number twice. What do you think?
My God, now you talk about cows. I've been 2 days on it. Henry Burry's son is a druggist in Lakeland. And he married a girl down here to Martin by the name of Reiff, R-E-I-F-F. And her mother's a widow, and she lives on that damn big ranch. Now, I don't know how many acres in it, but these are a damn lot of them. Well, this young Tommy Burry has got a bunch of cows down there on it, see? And they run out of water. The pump there.
Oh, they got some pump water.
I don't know whether the pump is at fault or whether the well is going dry. But geez, you know, they can't get a stream of water there any bigger than a lead pencil out of that pump, see? And the pump is hot and it's running all the while, running 24 hours a day. And so they're putting down a new well. Well, I went down with Henry and looked at it, and Henry said, there's an old milk cow that's down here, see? And here was a electric pole down here, and then up here there's some more. And the electric company has built a new line up through there to get extra juice up to them peach orchards. You know where them peach orchards are?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, this ranch is just this side of that peach orchard. All right. There used to be a pole set right there close by where this new one is. And it had a line. They run over to this milk house. See, so that when they used to ship milk out of there years ago, they had this milk house in there with a mechanical cooler, milk cooler in it. And they had that electric line in there. Well, they put this new pole in. Well, they hooked this line onto the pole, but they didn't connect it onto the wires. See? Well, it run over here, and where this old entrance was, the old entrance would be plenty big enough to run that pump. But you know, under this new setup down there in Marion County in this zoning business, well, you've got it. They won't allow you to put in any entrance anywhere anymore unless it has a number two wire and a 100-amp box. Well, now for that pump, they didn't need it that size. The old entrance in there was big enough, but Jesus, they won't allow you to have that, see? All right, and by the power company having them wires cut off there, you couldn't get away with it without you did put in a new entrance in there, see? So I had to get down and put a new entrance in down there. Well, I explained it to the power company just what we'd got to do, put a new entrance in there, to get them to hook it up, see? Well, all right, you've got to go down to the zoning board and get a permit. So I went down to the zoning board and I talked to him down there and told him just what there was to it. Well, now he says, I'll tell you, if you're just going to have electricity there to pump water for them cows, we aren't going to issue you no permit and we ain't going to make no charge. You just go ahead and get water for them cows. See, well, that was very good of them, see, because I told him about putting this entrance in up here. All right, he got up there. Let's see, this was Thursday. Got up there Thursday, and the damn well driller was down below this other pole way down here. There was an old barn down there. Didn't amount, don't amount to nothing. And they was down there and going to drill down in there, where there's an easy place to set up. Well, it would have been all right, but here the position was this. If they put that down there, I'd got to put in what they call a pole entrance. See, we'd got to set a big pole and put your meter and your box and everything on down there, and you'd got to buy a weatherproof box. Here I had all inside boxes and wires and stuff there, see, to put up here in this other building. And here they were down there. Well, now I said, you hold up on that goddamn building. And he was all ready to start. Well, he said, I'll tell you, that I'm working this rig on the commission, and when that sets still, I ain't getting any money. Well, I said, no, I know you ain't getting any money, but I said, you see the position that I'm in. Here now, I said, I've gone ahead and told these other fellas that are higher up than me and just what we're going to put this up here. And if I don't put it up here and I got to do that, I got to go down and explain it to them again that there's a change. And they got to buy that pole and everything, and one of them poles costs, I don't know, $60-$75, one of them big poles. So I went up to the house and I called Henry Burry on the telephone. You know Henry down here in the store.
Yeah.
So I said, you get down here.
I never have seen Henry popping up and down, though. Does he ever get hot?
Yeah, every once in a while. So I got him down there, and we looked it over. Well, Henry said, I wonder if we couldn't put that well up above that milk house. Well, I said, that'd be better yet. So we went down and they got a hold of the fellow in the well drilling outfit there, and they brought him up above the milk house there and asked him about drilling the well up there. Well, yes, that's a better place for it than either one of them other two. So we set it up and drilled the well up there. Well, now they put down a 4-inch well and they're going to put in a submergible pump. Well, when I come away, he had a hole in the ground, probably better than 60 feet, but he only had one 20-foot length of pipe in down there because he run into a rock, one of them loose rocks, and the darn thing had partly plugged the hole, you know, and his drill would catch on it once in a while. So he'd got to bring up a stick of dynamite and blow that. See? So he was in trouble on that. Well, now, I assume that they got it hooked up yesterday. But what they got and how much water they got, I don't know. I think that I will stop on the way back and stop down there and see if I can find out from Henry what they did make out. And here was a comical part of it. Just outside of that old milk house, they set this old mechanical milk cooler. See, they'd moved it out. And it set probably about that far away from the building. Well, somebody had thrown an old sheet of corrugated roofing in back there, and it set with the bottom against the milk cooler and the top up against the milk house there, see? Well, we was over there that night, Wednesday night, looking at it. And I thought I'd see something move in back there, and I thought it was a cat, you know, see? And I thought I'd wiggle that tin and scare it. Jesus, I pulled that tin up over, and I see there was a skunk in there. Oh, I says to Henry, come here and look at this. So Henry come around, Henry got a look at it, and he jumped back. God almighty, he said, that's a polecat.
Just taken over?
Huh? The polecat was right in back there, see? Well, yeah. She didn't bother us any. Well, now, I was working right there, putting that entrance in on the outside and the meter socket, one thing and another. And I wasn't more than 6 feet away from her. And you know, she didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I looked kind of close, and by God, she had some little ones there.
Oh, Miss Eason.
See, that's the reason that she wasn't moving out of there, see?
Yeah.
Didn't run. She stayed right there with them little ones. Well, you know, if I got a little bit too close and I'd look down at her, she'd be laying there with her head cocked up like that looking at me.
Is that right?
little white strip down the front of her nose here like that, you know?
Yeah. Right there in that old milk house.
Yeah. Right on the outside. She wasn't on the inside. It's on the outside. And you see right down in there and right in there, but that's... sheet of corrugated roofing.
Yeah.
Somebody had a little wad of wire rolled up, and that was thrown down in there, and some leaves and stuff had blowed in there and around it, you know. And that made a nice little place for a nest in there. See, and that's where she was, right in there, and them old leaves and stuff in there.
Yeah. You know, if you clean everything up, the animals haven't got anywhere to... That's right.
Well, I was down here at the Goodriches working, I guess it was 2 years ago, and I had been putting some new floor joists under the back porch and working around there, and right about 4 feet from where the back porch come, the house come out there, even with the porch. See, the porch was kind of built back in. And right about 4 feet from where that house come out there like that, there was an opening in the wall back in under the house there, part, see? Well, back under the house, it was all open and under there. Well, I was working around under there, and I didn't see nothing under there. And we got finished up and was outside there and stood there looking at it and talking. Jesus, out come three little of them armadillos. Little fellas, you know.
Yeah.
And they come out around there and smelling on the ground, one thing another. And Jesus, he had a bushel basket there, and I reached over and grabbed the bushel basket, and we just picked them right up and put them in the basket, see?
Oh, they that gentle?
Yeah, they won't bite you. Them little fellas, you know.
Yeah.
And, they was pretty near as big around as that can, see?
Oh, that big.
I don't know. I don't believe they was quite that big. They're about that length, you know.
Yeah.
Put them in the basket there, you know, and they'd try to crawl up out, you know, and they'd scratch, you know, and they got awful sharp claws, you know.
Oh.
And they'd dig on that one thing or another. So he called up Ross Allen down there. But Ross wouldn't buy them. He said he had some down there. And so I took him down to the restaurant, see? And I got down to the restaurant. I took him home and showed him down home there, and I showed him to Hargett, to before Hargett died. And I went back over to the restaurant, and Goodrich and his wife was in there. And I went in with a basket, you know, and Goodrich, he began to laugh. And I said to the cook in there, she was, or the waitress in there, she was behind the counter. And I said, here's what Goodrich wants you to cook for his dinner. Well, of course, that got a laugh, you know. And she come around looking in the basket. Woo, gosh. So then I went in the kitchen with him there and showed him the nigger cook scene. I told her that Goodrich wanted him to cook for his dinner. She wasn't going to cook them things. We had quite a lot of laugh about it. And finally, he gave them to somebody. I took them, brought them back up to his place. And he gave them to somebody that lived way off, up west to the McIntosh there somewhere. I forget who he did say. Yeah. Somebody got them up there.
And you carried those armadillos
around? Yeah. You know, Mr. Eastman, those armadillos, but them skunks, I used to... The first contact I ever had with skunks, we was way over in the far corner of Arkansas. We didn't have any money, and we was living out over there in a house somebody let us have. It was back in them Ozarks, them hills, and it just full of skunks. And they'd come, they'd get dark, they'd start circulating. They'd be all around there. It would make it a noise. But you could tell they was all right until they got excited. And then that fresh odor, as long as it's fresh, you know, you'll notice it.
Mm.
But now, let it give it a day or two to sort of mellow, and it's not bad at all. So, and it happens right here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where they have the nest, but every now and then we get that fragrance.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what it is that upsets them.
Some dog, probably, or something.
Yeah. And you can tell just about when it is.
My father-in-law used to raise them.
Oh, really?
Well, them little skunks, you know, my first wife used to go out with a horse whip. And she'd bring it around, you know, and them skunks would play with that just like a little kittens.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hell, she used to go right in the pen there, you know, and pick them up and play with them, and hell, they didn't stink her up.
Yeah.
And after we was married, I happened to look out there one day, and there was one walking around out between the house and the barn. And I had a hole. And I went along out there, you know, and I'd poke him with a hole, and he'd stink on the hole there, you know, till he run out of perfume. After he run out of perfume, then they'd just take and pick him up, you know. Why, you could hold him in your arms here, you know, and gee, and he'd lick your damn face and everything else, just like a cat, you know, or a kitten, you know. Yeah, play with him. Why, we had that skunk around there for a long time, and different ones would come there and get their pictures taken with us holding that skunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you had to do
was... Oh, that was quite a novelty. All you had to do was we'd feed him, you know, bread and milk, and Jesus, he'd hang right there.
But you never did take his stinker off. Yeah.
No. Just let him get rid of it. Yeah.
All at once, one day, we found him dead out there, and I think probably some dog.
Do you ever go down there to the to the restaurant now?
Red Orange Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tradewind. Who runs that?
Paul Neville Barnard.
Well, they told me that big lady in there runs it.
Well, she's his wife.
Oh. Oh, I see.
That's Mrs. Barnard.
I see. Do you know her?
Yeah, I was supposed to go down there today and put up them curtain rods for her.
Oh, that's who it's for. Oh, I see.
See, they live right just back there.
Yeah. Does she ever say anything much when you were there?
Say anything about what?
Did she ever talk about anything when you were there?
No, about your drinking, you mean?
No, just anything.
Oh, yeah, she talks.
Yeah. But now, they tell me, Mr. Eastman, that she's been in this country a long time, brought up here. She's old man Russian.
No.
That's a different woman.
Is that right? Oh.
Now, these Barners come down here from Georgia.
Oh.
Now, that big woman that you're talking about, or thinking about, is Stella. I don't know what her last name is.
Yes.
But I think if she's over around Citra somewhere now. She used to be around there. Well, when I first knew Stella, she run that hotel and restaurant that burned up there at Orange Lake.
Yeah.
Well, then she went up running that other restaurant up there where Williams is, up.
Yeah.
Up there. And I think that she's over to Citra somewhere.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I know who this woman is, but I don't really know her. Her name that I knew was when she lived out there, you know, on, which road is that? The one
where
going to Shiloh?
Yeah.
The road going to Shiloh, right there from the drugstore.
Yeah.
She lived out there. She and her husband died, Meredith Carter.
Oh, no, she ain't the one. No, she don't run the restaurant. Meredith Carter Sharkey.
Well, you know her.
Yes, hell, I've done a lot of work for her.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Where does she live?
She still lives right there, just as you're going into McIntosh from this way on the left-hand side. You know where the meat house is,
yeah,
there on the right-hand,
yeah,
side? Well, she lives on the other side, just beyond it. That big house that sets back in the trees there.
Yeah.
Then she married Charlie Sharkey down there at Orange Lake, and he died.
He died. Yeah. Well, now, when you see her, does she talk that much?
Oh, yes. Her mouth is running all the while.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Well, is she interested?
Well, sometimes, and sometimes it ain't. It all depends on whether she's want you to do something, or if you've done something and it didn't suit her.
And then you hear from it.
Oh, she gets some of the damnedest ideas in her mind, you know. She had a screen door. The dogs bothered it, so I put that hardware cloth on the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
Well, then she got it in her mind that people come in there, push the screen on the top. She wanted that hardware cloth put on the top, so when they pushed on the top, they'd push on the hardware cloth instead of on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, so I fixed that, and oh, Jesus, I've done a lot down there. Well, first, that I ever done for her, that was before she and Sharkey was married. The termites had ate up her kitchen floor.
Oh.
And she wanted a new floor put in. Well, I went down there to tear out the old floor, and there was a colored fella. He lived down at Orange Lake somewhere. He's dead now, they say. But he was helping up there, and I'd tear the stuff out, and we had a bonfire out there, and he'd carry it out and put down the bonfire, burn it up, you know, all them live termites and everything in it. And every little while she'd come out, and, well, the termite man said, you ain't got to tear that out. I kept right on tearing right out, you know, like cleaning everything right out and getting rid of all of them.
Yeah.
She come out, well, now you ain't got to take that piece on the back out there, because the termites, that man said you hadn't got to take that out. I said, by God, if the termite man's a doing this, what am I here for? See? I said, I can quit any minute. Jesus, she turned right around and walked back in the other part of the house. The colored fellow says, Jesus, how dare you talk like that to her? Well, I said, I'll tell you, she just got my goat. I said, by God, when I'm trying to do something, I said, and then have her bellyache like that. Leave some of that stuff in there with the termites in it. And they had The old floor was in there, you know, and they took the 1/4-inch plywood and nailed down the floor.
Yeah.
And then put the tile over the top of it.
With a dramite under it.
Yeah. Right and under that plywood, between the plywood and the floor, they're just white with them damn termites.
I'll be damned. Just ignoring them.
I just tore them right out of there and ended up with the old colored fellow. Says, "How dare you talk to her like that?"
Well, did she ever? she didn't remember it.
Nah.
She didn't care.
But she didn't. She thought I was tearing out too much, don't you
think?
Yes. Well, I was just tearing out to get where there was something solid to start to.
Do you ever hear her talk sensible things?
Well, not too much. She used to, before she and Sharkey was married, Sharkey'd go down to the fish camp, down there where Monty runs, down at the fish camp.
Yeah.
Hagee's fish camp. Boy, she'd come down there, you know, and she'd pike herself down in old Charlie's lap, and he was sitting in a chair, and she'd hug and kiss him and one thing or another. After they said that she and Sharkey were going to get married, Monty was telling me about it, how she was slopping around down there. Well, I said, "Monty, I said, can't you learn something from the way she's doing down there and get you a man?" Monty flew higher than a kite, you know. She gets mad, and Monty does awful quick.
Yeah.
She gave me to understand right there that she didn't want no man not that way.
Well, now, she's old man Rush's daughter.
Yeah.
And he was one of the big, sort of fabulous
operators.
Operators,
a lot of land, cows, and stuff.
And a pack of dogs. And people would come in here to hunt with him.
Yeah.
But she never talks about that.
Well, she told me some about her father.
Well.
You know, he had 4 daughters. There was Murtis.
Yeah.
And one of them married Buddy Huff, and she died of cancer.
Yeah.
Well, then there's another one that married a Priestley over to Williston. She's still alive. Well, then there was another one, and I don't know what somebody told me about that other one. I don't know what her name was, but she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, there's Murtis and that one over there to Williston that's alive yet, but that one over to Williston is alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that Murtis was at one time.
Oh, really? I thought she was a pillar of the church. I don't know. Now, I may be wrong about that, but I thought she went to one of those little churches.
Oh, yeah, she's there. She's way up in the church there. But
way up in it.
Yeah, well, she cut out the alcohol. Yeah, but they said at one time she was wicked.
Is that right? Well, now, you see, she would have good reason at being the blood, because old man Rush was a good liver, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, where they lived, up there where that horse farm is.
Yeah, I hated to see all that.
Old man Rush, you know, he and Carter, they picked up all the stones off in the lot there and brought down into McIntosh to build that house. That house, the outside of it is all stone.
Oh, they built that house?
Yeah, just fieldstone. Now, this one down here in McIntosh.
I didn't realize they had built it. Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah.
They say that she just holds forth down there at the Tradewind.
She makes a regular damn fool of herself. She could go down there and sit just about every night. They go down there, you know, and get a cup of coffee and sit in there. She and, well, when Sharkey was alive, he'd be with her.
Yeah.
But there's, and then there's another couple down here. You probably know Akins.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Akins. Well, you know that. Did you know that Widow Webb? Well, as you, they used to run a store down there, and this Widow Webb is a sister to Lindsley. That's in with that Belk Lindsley.
Yes.
They got a lot of money too. Yes. This Widow Webb has down there. And as you're going into McIntosh, you know that old store that's on the left down there, that's all dilapidated and half fallen down.
Yeah.
Well, then you know just beyond that there was a house in there, and they tore that down, and there's got a sign there that says City Block for Sale.
Yeah.
Well, she owned that. She owns that in there, and she had that house tore down because it was that up with the termites.
Oh.
And she married this Akins. He's a fellow from Ohio.
Yeah. And they go down there?
Yeah, they go down there at the restaurant. Well, they eat there just about all the time, Akins do. They eat their dinner and their supper down there every day.
Oh.
And Murtis and the old lady Waters. May Waters, she goes down there and sits around and talks and jabs and had a hell of a time down there.
Yeah. You know May?
Yeah.
Well, I got acquainted with her, you see, when W.W. was selling them oranges. I used to go down there and sit and they'd talk.
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot of work for them. Waters is there.
Yeah. Oh, I hate to see Walter, I hate to see him go, because they had a headquarters down there.
Yeah, yeah. He was a good old guy. They say in his younger days he was an awful drunk, but he kind of got over that.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of in the blood, a lot of those people, you know, down there, them families. Like old man Rush, you see. No telling what his children would come up doing.
No, that's it.
Because they, tell you, Mr. Beesman, because they wouldn't do it. Just ordinary reason. It's all a game. They just ready for anything, see? And sort of sporting.
Well, that's where that priestly woman over there to Williston, Gina, they say she's a regular sport. But I got a fella come there and take her out and buy her a drink, and she's ready for anything.
But Murtis hangs on, and she's down there too?
Yeah.
She's got money.
The old God, yes. I guess she's lousy with it.
And all she wants is a little entertainment, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't ever... And then they talk, you can hear them all over the place.
Huh?
Well, they talk and you can hear them all over
yes.
the place.
Yes. Yeah. Old Barnard says they make damn fools of themselves, he says. He don't just appreciate their coming in there every night. They buy one...